will be in Acts chapter 6 this evening. I'm going to read a handful of verses. From Acts chapter 6, verse 8, on through the rest of the chapter, which is just about 7 or 8 verses, and then the first verse of chapter 7. So, beginning in Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, we're going to read the account of Stephen here, and my text verse will be chapter 7, verse 1. But we'll begin here, chapter 6, verse 8. And the Bible here reads as follows: "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians, and of them of Cilicia and Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. Then they suborned men, which said, We have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes, and came upon him and caught him, and brought him to the council, and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against this holy place and the law. For we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place, and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." In chapter 7, verse 1, and this is our text verse. "Then said the high priest, Are these things so? And Lord Jesus, I just ask you to be with us. Help me to preach, Lord, and help everyone that's here that we hear your word and that we listen to your spirit. And help us, Lord, that we be encouraged this evening. And we might go forth, Lord, taking strength, that we would be good witnesses of you in this world that needs it. And we ask you this, Lord Jesus, for the glory of your name. And we ask you in your name, Lord Jesus. Amen." You may be seated. And what I'd like to speak to you about is courage. Courage. And I was reading here today, and at chapter 7, verse 1, kind of stopped me, where it says, "Then said the high priest, Are these things so?" And I began thinking about Stephen here. And we know very little about Stephen. Most of what we know about him, we know from that we just read. But here he is sitting in front of the council, and his very life is at stake, and his livelihood's at stake at least, and his family's fate is going to hinge on this. And he's faced with these men who are learned men who've been studying the Scriptures all of their lives, and he's accused about half right and half wrong. The accusations against him were about word for word kind of true, but not really. And he's asked, "Are these things so?" And of course, chapter 7 bears witness of the testimony Stephen gave. I'm not going to try to read that this evening. It's an excellent chapter, and it's worth reading, and it's worth preaching, but it's just not where we're going tonight. And he, and of course, of his courage to stand before these men and explain why he believed what he believed, and explain before them who God really was. The very things they should have known, but somehow or another had failed to learn in all their learning. And stand up before him at the close of chapter 7. You see him stand after he's explained to them the past and explained to them how that they had a, how that the people of Israel, the children of Israel, had had all these blessings God had had and had used them, and how that they at the same time resisted God. Their whole history had resisted God. In chapter 50, in verse 51 of chapter 7, you see him turn to this council that had the power of life and death over him and say, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in hearts and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do you." Well, and then follows on. You know, it says, "Which of the prophets have your fathers, have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the just one, of whom ye have now been betrayers and murderers." So he stood in the face of these men and was willing not only to defend what he believed, but to let them know in no uncertain terms that they were the ones who slew Jesus, that they were the ones who were guilty of the blood of the Messiah. Now that took some. Now look, y'all, I don't want to stop in the middle of this, so let's not have no cutting up over there, okay? And stop and tell them what was what. And so what struck me about this was the courage that it took. The courage that it took. And I've always admired men of courage. I always have. I mean, even, of course, now I look and often look in the Scriptures at the men and women and what they did and how that the Lord used them and how they had to stand for Him. But even as a child, I admired military men who stood in the face of battle. It was said of Stonewall Jackson that he was shot in the hand one time because he would hold his hand up and pray in the midst of battle. And they asked him, how do you get the courage to just stand as if nothing's wrong in battle? And he said, my Maker has set an appointed time for me to die. And until that time, I'm just as safe in battle as I am in my bed. That's faith. I've always admired that. I've always admired men and women who are unafraid. But yet, for all of that, I find that I still have to battle against fear inside of me. How about you? I still get butterflies in my stomach. I still get anxieties. You know, when I'm put on the spot, I still stumble over my words sometimes, and I still find myself unsure of what to say. And so what I want to get into just briefly here is what's required of you and I if we're going to have courage. If we're going to have this boldness and this courage to face this world. Because I believe that God is looking for men and women who are willing to stand. And in this time where this world, the spirit of this world, stands so strongly against us, I believe that the Lord would like for you and I to have this courage, this holy boldness that we speak of. And so I'm going to go into some things here that you've heard me go into before, but I don't mean them to try to throw this at you and beat you with them, but rather to try and encourage you with them on why this is so important. You know, when I was growing up, the Marine Corps used to have this advertisement where it said, still looking for a few good men. Well, I believe that the Lord is looking for some good men and women who are strong in the Lord and who have courage. You and I may never stand in front of the United States Senate. We may never stand in front of the United Nations. We may never stand in front of the state congressman, or we may never even stand in front of the city council. But I know that we will stand in front of people we know, whether they be relatives, be friends. We will stand in front of them, and it takes courage. And I want you to have that courage, and I want me to have that courage, everybody here. And so here's what I find about Stephen and from this case that I think will be required of us. First off, you'll find in chapter 6 what we know of Stephen. We are required to be willing to be set apart. I know we preach this all the time, this thing of separation, sanctification, that's what it means. But you'll find in chapter 6 it opens up and it speaks about how that there was murmuring and complaining because the Greeks said basically that their widows weren't getting taken care of. And the apostles said, look, we ain't got time to fool with this. And I'm paraphrasing, but they said, we're not going to fool with this. You pick you out 7 men. And we'll give this to them, and they can take care of the widows. And we believe these men were set apart as deacons. It doesn't say the word deacon, but we believe this was the first 7 deacons. And it says here in the saying, please the whole multitude, in verse 5, and they chose Stephen, this is the first we hear of him, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, and if I didn't say it right, you don't know either. And they set before the apostles, and when they prayed, they laid hands on them. See, they were set apart. That's what that talks about. They were called out and set apart. If you and I are going to have the courage to stand for God like we ought to have, and you and me both, we're going to have to be willing to be set apart. And I don't just mean called out from this lost and dying world. Of course we have to have that. You and I are going to have to put aside things in order to move closer to the Lord if we're going to have this courage that we need. I'm not just talking about salvation. I mean beyond that. Beyond that. How many of you would like to be strong for the Lord in that day when you stand before Him? How many of you would like to say, Lord, I stood for You? In order to do so, you and I are going to have to be willing to move closer to God than most people do. I mean, more than most church people do. Stephen was willing to be called out even from his people in the church and be used for a purpose. He was willing to be singled out, set apart, to be used for a purpose. Now, there's a lot more purposes that God has than just the preacher and than just the deacons. And yes, there are other offices we fill. There's Sunday school teachers. And there's other offices depending on where you're at or other duties. But I mean, even if you hold no office in the church, if you hold no position in the church, you can still be willing to be set apart from the average, ordinary, everyday Christian and move closer to God. Are you with me? If you really want to have the courage to stand, this is where it hits. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is what it all comes down to. People, the reason we don't have the power of the Holy Ghost in our midst, I'm talking about the power to have prayers answered, the power to get things done, often comes down to the fact that we're not willing to separate ourselves from things of this world. You know, this is what Paul was talking about when he talked to Timothy. And I'm going to take my time with this, if y'all don't mind. I'm not going to hold you in here too long, but I'm going to take my time with this. In the second book of Timothy, because I know some of you follow with me in the Scriptures, and in the book of 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and this is the last epistle that Paul wrote that we have recorded, is 2 Timothy. He was an older man at this time. He wasn't as old as some of us live now today, but he was an older man at this time, and he had lived and he had seen a lot. And he was writing his final instructions to Timothy. And in chapter 2, I'll just read verses 3 and 4, and I want to bring out one thought of it. He says, "Thou, therefore," he was telling Timothy personally, he says, you, not everybody else, you, personally, "Thou, therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." He says, it's going to be tough. This thing of being set apart, this thing of being singled out, this thing of being willing to be sanctified to God, to be consecrated. Consecrated means not only set apart, but specifically set apart for a specific purpose to God. This thing is tough, he said. Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, verse 4 is what I want to bring out. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. You see, the thing of being set apart, it doesn't just mean that we do what's right, don't do what's wrong, that we look right, we spit white, we walk upright. Hey, we do all those things, but it means more than that. It means we don't get tangled up in the cares and concerns of this world. It means we don't let all the stuff of this world suck us down into the mire, but we live above that. We don't care. We let things of this world be of no concern to us. You'll remember in that ground that was sown with seed, there were four types of ground, and the third was where seed was sown, but it couldn't come to fruition because it was choked out by the cares and concerns of this world. That's what those thorns were. And what I'm saying by being set apart is that we're set apart from the concerns of this world. It's not just following the do's and don'ts. It's literally being unconcerned with what this world is all about. It means that politics are not what drives us. It means that fads and fashions don't concern us. It means that we live for Jesus Christ. We live for what's eternal, and we don't care about what's temporal. It means that we're going to trust the Lord to take care of our living, and we're going to live for Him. Must be set apart. Y'all understand that's why Jesus said no man can serve two masters when He was talking about whether you're going to serve Him or serve mammon. Mammon means the riches of this world. He said either you're going to worry about this world or you're going to worry about the next world, and you ain't going to worry about both of them. And by being set apart, I'm talking about something in the heart. I'm talking about being willing to have our heart wholly dedicated toward what's eternal. This is the first step in having the courage that's needed to stand for Jesus Christ. The second thing that I'm going to find here in the book of Acts, back in Acts chapter 6. It says in verses 9 and 10, "There arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the libertines." There's a bunch of churches of libertines right now. "And Cyrenians and Alexandrians and those of Cilicia and Asia disputing with Stephen." Isn't that something? It was the church folks that was arguing with them the most. And it'll be with you too. If you're going to stand with God, it'll be religious folks or folks. And these folks thought they was religious, but yet they was lost without Jesus Christ. And there's plenty of that out here. Most of this world thinks they're all right with God, but they're not. I mean, we have Bible for that. It says that the broad way leads to destruction. Everybody ain't going, but yet most everybody in the world thinks they're all right. And if you're going to have the courage to stand for God, there's going to be people who think they're all right with God who are going to argue with you. You're not going to have a choice. You don't go pick a fight, but they're going to argue with you. The second thing I'd bring first is you have to be willing to be set apart. The second is you have to be willing to speak and answer. Just living it and not saying a word is not going to be enough. It's going to get somebody mad. It's going to get somebody upset because you live right. They're going to in their mind, they're going to think, oh, there goes one of them holier-now people. There goes one of them church folks. There goes one of them holy rollers. So whatever it is they call you, and they're going to confront you. You will be required to speak and answer. This is where it gets tough. This is where if you weren't set apart in your heart, you'll never pass this one. But if you've already purposed in your heart, you've already been set apart for the work of God, you've already disentangled yourself from all the junk on this earth and don't care about it, you can speak and answer. Because you've got a heart that's clean before God, now you can speak and answer. And the reason Steve was able to speak with them, you look, it says they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. You see, because being empty to this world, he could be full of God. And it's the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, that gives us what to say. You don't have to study. I can't give you classes on what to say. It don't work that way. But if your heart is clean, and clean from the cares of this world, and dedicated to God, you can speak and answer. Because what you're speaking from is your heart that's full of Him. And you can tell people why you believe what you believe. Because you believe it. And you can tell them where in the Scriptures if they'll have it. And if they won't have it, they'll walk on their way, but you're clean and you won't have any doubts about it. And you'll say things that they will not be able to resist. I'm going to tell you, it's been often that simple farmers and housewives have been able to say with conviction the things that they believe, and people with doctor's degrees couldn't argue them down. You don't have to have some sort of college education, and I'm not putting that down, but you don't have to have a college education to know what you believe. If you've got a clean heart before God, you can speak and answer with the power of God, and no one will be able to resist what you say. They'll be able to argue, they'll be able to yell and argue, but they won't be able to trap you in your words. You can speak and you can answer. Now this is required if we're going to have this courage. We have to be set apart, or willing to be set apart. And we have to be willing to speak and answer. It's one of the reasons why, by the way, I do call on you to testify in here. I want you to get used to that. I want you to get used to this thing of speaking and answering. I want you to get used to saying that God has been good to me. I want you to get used to testifying of God's goodness so that when somebody else questions you, it's a natural thing for you to say, I love God. And I believe Him. And to stand firm on it. And you can just simply stick with the truth that's in this Bible. You don't need a bunch of complicated theology. All you need is faith in God. Stephen was full of the faith, it said. We're required, if we're going to have this courage, if we're going to go before God on the day of judgment and say, Lord, I know I did my best for You. Please forgive me where I failed, because I'll guarantee we all fail too. But if we're going to say, I did the best I could do, to have this courage, first, we have to be willing to be set apart. Second, we have to be willing to speak and answer. Third, we have to be willing to stand alone. Now's where it's really hard. alone. Somebody walked in this church and challenged the church, you've got everybody here. If you've got one person in your family who's decided they're going to be a hard head and they're going to challenge everything you believe, it's pretty easy when you got two or three of you or four or five of you talking to them. When it's one-on-one, it's a little more difficult. You're alone. But by standing alone, I'm not just talking about standing alone one-on-one with somebody. I'm talking about when there's more of them than there are of you. How many times have you ever been challenged on what you believe when there were several of them and one of you? It's not pleasant, is it? It's not comfortable. But if you're going to have the courage to stand before God, you have to be willing to stand alone against not one, but many. Many. I'm not saying you seek out and look for opportunities to do this, but understand it will happen. There will be times when two or three of them, if you're in the workplace, will try to gang up on you and badger you about what you believe. There will be times in your family, I'll promise you this is true, if you have the average family, there will be times in your family where two or three of them will try to badger you about what you believe. You must be willing to stand alone. Now, of course, you know you're not really alone, don't you? If you went through this from the beginning, if you were willing to be set apart for Him, you're not alone anyhow. But I'm just talking about in the natural. You have to be willing to stand alone if it means being against every man and woman on the face of this earth. This is where the courage comes in. Stephen stood alone. They caught him, it said. Said they came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council. It wasn't his idea. He didn't look for a fight, but they came and got him. And they were all looking at him. And by the way, if you look, it says, and saw his face as if it had been the face of an angel. He might have been the only one there who was on his side, but it didn't bother him. This is what I'm looking for in my life. I'm preaching this to you for you to have, but I mean, I want me to have this too. To have this courage that no matter who comes up and questions me or bothers me about what I believe, that I can stand and answer them with the calmness and conviction that I have the answers. I don't mean that I know everything, but I have the answers. The answer is Jesus. I have Him. And you can have that too. That courage too. To stand alone. I've got one other thing. And then I'm going to finally wrap it up. You have to be willing to be set apart. You have to be willing to speak and answer. You have to be willing to stand alone. And you have to be willing to suffer anger. Stephen knew these men had the power to kill him. And he answered them anyhow. This is what's so remarkable about what I told you earlier over there in the next chapter down there in those later verses. When he said, "Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost." When he told them, showed you before the coming of the just one of whom ye have been now, the betrayers and murderers. When he said those things, he knew that they were going to be angry, and he was willing to suffer their anger. If you're going to stand alone and defend the Word of God, and defend your belief in God, somebody's going to get angry with you. They're going to call you names. They will put you out of their company, and they'll do worse to you if they can. So far in this nation, they're not able to do us physical harm. They are in some nations. But if we're to talk about having courage to stand for God, we have to have the courage to suffer anger. He did not yell back at them. He never threw one stone back at them, but he suffered that anger. Suffered that anger. I want you to think of that. It's easy for us to deal with people who are mad at us if we can get mad back, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about absorbing it. Letting the whole world get mad. They're showing before God, testifying of who they are and who their Father is, if they get angry at me because I believe in Jesus Christ. They testify who their Father is, if they get angry at me because I believe in Jesus. We must be willing to suffer anger. Can you do that? I believe when we get to that point, we have that courage we need. So I'll say this one more time and I'll wrap it up. We have to be willing to be set apart, consecrated, dedicated for the use of God, unentangled from this earth. We have to be willing to speak and answer. We can't run away. We have to be willing to stand alone. In other words, you don't need your wife. You don't need her permission for you to have a backbone. Or, ma'am, you don't have to have your husband every time either. Or, you know, you don't need the other men and women down at church every time. It's nice to have them there. But you have to be willing to stand alone. And the last one was you have to be willing to suffer the anger of this world. I don't know how I would have done if I'd have gotten saved when I was a teenager. Because I was out running with the whole pack. I wasn't running against them. I know it's hard on y'all too. I know it is. But you have to be willing to suffer the anger of this world. One last thing. You know how you get that? You know how you get that? Why is it that Stephen was able to sit there and stand as if with his face looking like the face of an angel? Well, it goes all the way back to when we heard about Stephen. And back in verse 5, it said, "And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost." And that's how. That's how. You're not able of yourself, and I'm not either. You don't have enough strength of character, no matter how strong you think your character is, and neither do I. But we have to be full of faith. Don't skip that. Faith is belief. We have to truly believe. We have to be full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is God Himself, people. If we're going to be full of the Spirit of God, that means we have to be empty of everything else. We'll go back to where I said set apart. If we're full of nothing but God Himself and His Spirit, and if we're full of belief in Him, faith in Him, all these things will happen. You'll have the courage to speak, to answer, to stand alone. You'll have the courage to suffer the anger that this world pours out on you. It all goes back to simply being full of Him and empty of ourselves. And you can be a warrior for God. You can endure hardness as a good soldier. You can answer this world. And you can stand before God on that judgment day saying, "I've done my duty. I've done the best I could. They didn't listen to me, but I stood for you." I would remind you, they didn't listen to Noah or Jeremiah either. That wasn't what was required of them. What was required was that they stand. They didn't listen to Stephen either, or it didn't look like they did. But you know, I might remind you at the end of that chapter, you'll see that they all threw their coats right there at the foot of one Saul of Tarsus. And apparently that bothered Saul. A couple of chapters later, you find that he got saved and became the Apostle Paul. And became probably, of all the apostles, the one who was instrumental in the most salvation of any of them. Because Stephen was willing to have his blood shed, willing to stand alone and suffer the anger of this world. And so I believe that for everybody who's been saved in the churches of the Gentiles that Paul started, Stephen gets part credit for every bit of it. Just for having courage to stand. Will you have the courage to stand when it comes your time? I hope you do. I hope you do. I hope I do. I hope I do. I'm as likely to fall as any other man. But my God can make me stand just as much as any other man too. And you too. I'm going to leave it with you right there. We're going to close this out in just a word of prayer tonight, as we normally do on a Sunday night. But I would encourage you, when you go home, talk to the Lord about having that courage. And ask Him for that courage. And ask Him what you need to do. Ask Him what it takes for you to have the courage to stand in this world with the people that you know talking to you and to give you the strength to stand for God. We'll close out here, just a word of prayer. I'll ask Brother Ronald, if you would you close us out with a word, sir?